to be preaching and to be giving you guys the word today. I get a few opportunities, usually once a year, and I get to bring the word to you, and I'm thankful for it. So for those of you that don't know me, as Nathan said, my name is Brandon. I'm the music and tech director here at Gateway. So I'm typically up here or in the back. I'm doing those types of things. I've actually been part of this church for 18 years. Pretty good. It's funny, like I say that, I'm like, I'm not that old, but when you say you've been somewhere for 18 years, you're starting to get up there a little bit. And so I'm thankful. This has been a great church for our family, and been thankful to serve on staff here for quite some time. But speaking of getting old, I have two older kids, and I have our littlest one at the back there. Hi, Mav. And ever since he's come around, my dad jokes and puns are just like, they're just increasing. And I'm also a school teacher, and so I get the opportunity to, you know, probably painfully test my puns and my jokes on my students. And so they're like retching and gut-wrenching and, you know, having a hard time because I'm having all these horrible jokes. They're horribly good. But anyways, I digress. But I've been teaching foods and I've been enjoying it. There's lots of foods puns that you can do, right? But I have an excellent message for you today, okay? I'm really gonna need you to listen closely, okay? So, anyways, okay, long intro, but we've been in the God Story series, and essentially what the God Story series is, we're looking at the overarching narrative through the biblical story, and picking up on those key events, how it all comes together, and essentially just pulling that thread through the entire Bible. We've spent some time in the Old Testament, and now we're in the New Testament, and so we're looking at Jesus and some of the key moments and key things. And so today, I'm going to be talking to you about a key moment from the God story, and that is Jesus and the Beatitudes, okay? So if you've been in church for a while, you've probably, maybe you've heard this sermon, maybe you've heard different bits and pieces about the Beatitudes. If you're new to church, Beatitudes, you'd be like, hey, that kind of sounds like attitudes, and you'd be right, okay? So this is like the essential character and how we are supposed to walk as Christians, as human beings. And so this is a key moment that Jesus is kicking off his Sermon on the Mount, and it sets the tone and the stage for his entire sermon. So we're going to look at that today. These are the attitudes and the essential character that the disciples of Jesus should carry, okay? And so what I want to do today is, before I give you some context and background and all that kind of good stuff, I want to just read the Beatitudes together. Okay, I want to start off, read it so that we have it, we can kind of soak in it and chew on it a little bit, and then we'll go through it from there. So we'll pick up in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. I'm reading out of the NIV today. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Okay, there's lots there. There could be a sermon on this, a series on this. But we're gonna dive in. So we're gonna look at the context of these words in the big story of Scripture, and then we're gonna break down a little bit of what each one means, and then how it can apply to our lives today. So if we put this scripture in the context of what's happening, Jesus in the last chapter has been tempted in his wilderness temptation, and he's begun to teach in Galilee, and so he's kicking off his ministry. He's been baptized, and he's set out into this fertile region, lots of Gentiles, some big Jewish cities, and all of that. And so he's beginning to teach and preach, and he's saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Okay, And so he picks his disciples, and he's in the synagogues, and he's teaching. He's preaching, he's healing, okay? And so that leads us to right up to chapter 5 and the Sermon on the Mount. And so there's a multitude of people. His disciples are with him, okay? It's not just his disciples. There's lots of followers and people. Luke confirms that and mentions that there's this multitude. Sometimes people think that it's just the 12 that he was teaching, but there's everybody there. And so the Sermon on the Mount has been recognized as the sum of Jesus' ethical teaching and how to walk out the Christian life. Okay? So he's essentially teaching his followers how to live, and he's declaring what the kingdom will look like, who is invited, and how to carry themselves. Okay? So as he continues to go through, he takes the law that Moses was given, and he elevates it to a whole new standard. Okay, but he did not come to abolish the law, but to accomplish their purpose. Okay, to see our need for God, and so he ultimately dies, is raised to life, and completely fulfilling these requirements, right, and setting forth this new covenant. One thing that there was a commentary from Wiersbe that I thought was quite awesome, of just emphasizing Jesus' focus. And so we'll throw that up there for people to see, and I'll read through that. So Warren says, the main theme, emphasis, is true righteousness. The religious leaders had an artificial, external righteousness based on the law. But the righteousness Jesus described is a true and vital righteousness that begins internally in the heart. The Pharisees were concerned about the minute details of the conduct, but they neglected the major matter of character. Conduct flows out of character. Isn't that so true? Conduct flows out of character. When we have the character of the Lord in our lives, we look a whole lot different. Okay, we look way different than the culture that's out there. Okay, and Jesus then was already flipping and changing the cultures. Everything that they saw, that they thought was happening, he had his twists, and he was looking at it in a different way, and he was challenging their religious beliefs. He took the original law, he fulfilled it, and then showed how we can walk in righteousness through him. So we'll continue on. Matthew makes many references to the Old Testament, and his gospel is really focused on the righteousness and speaking to the Jews, and that the fulfillment through the Old Testament prophecies. Okay, so he really focuses on that. And one component of the Sermon on the Mount and its connection to the greater God story is the similarity between Moses and the similarity between Jesus, these two. There are many parallels between Moses and the law and then the Sermon on the Mount. Okay. Jesus has been referred to as the new Moses or a prophet like Moses. If we pick up in Deuteronomy, this would be Moses. It says, it's not on the screen, but I'll just read it for you. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him. For this is what you have asked of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, let us not hear the voice of the Lord our God nor see this great fire anymore, or we will die. And the Lord said to me, what they say is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their fellow Israelites, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell them everything I command him. Okay, so it's speaking to that Jesus and Moses and the similarity between the two. And then in Isaiah, they're speaking about the Lord's going to do. There's Mosaic imagery. He's talking about, I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator, your King. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and the horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Okay, and so he's using that similarity of what happened with Moses and the through the sea and the parting of the seas, and he's speaking to who is going to come. So, Mosaic imagery. Jesus went up the mountain. Exact same language that was used when Moses went up the language. Straight quote from Exodus and when he goes up to receive the law. Matthew specifically describes a mountain that Jesus ascended, and then he sits down to teach. The same way that Moses would have sat down to receive the law. Okay, so there's those parallels there. Moses receives the law. Jesus then goes on to teach and focuses on the new law and the new covenant and elevating this new way of life. Okay, so Moses goes up the mountain, receives the Ten Commandments, gives them to the people. Jesus ascends the mountain and then gives the teaching of the new way to live, the Sermon on the Mount. Okay, so it's a cool kind of parallel, pointing the Jewish people would have seen those connections, and really Matthew's trying to emphasize that so that they knew that he was the coming king, the coming Christ. Many Jewish people believed that the new kingdom, the prophecies would have been fulfilled by that great war, a force, a leader, someone like that, powerful. Okay, they begged for a new king, even though they had God at the helm. They wanted a new king, they wanted someone, and God reluctantly gave them a king, but those kings are human. They made many mistakes, things along the way, and thankfully, Jesus had a plan, and our new coming king, Jesus, came. And he ushers in this kingdom of God in a new, unmistakable way. Okay, so it's not what they expected of the power, of war or anything like that. It's this new way, not through force. He didn't come through force, but through humility and servanthood. Okay, so completely different from what they expected. It wasn't a war commanding leader. It was Jesus, his servanthood, his love, his attitude of his kingdom. He begins to explain the Beatitudes. Humble, lowly, meek, serving, persecuted, definitely not what was expected. Okay, so it's quite a surprise. So, in summary, if you want to put that summary slide up, he's begun his ministry, he's announcing the kingdom of God, the Sermon on the Mount equals the key foundational teaching of Jesus, okay? And like Moses on the mountain, Jesus is giving us this new way. Okay, so quick summary of that kind of thing. So, the Beatitudes. There we go. Beatitudes mean the blessings. Okay, so beatus in Latin is the word for blessed, and where the word beatitudes comes from. And if you look at it, be, and then attitudes. So the attitudes that we want to be, that we want to carry. It's an easy way to remember it. Jesus is, again, outlining this character, this attitude that we need to carry in our lives. In biblical times, people would have seen the blessed as the rich, as the favored, as the strong. And so when Jesus starts saying that these blessed people are low, poor, meek, any of those things, that would have really confused them. So that's where he's like flipping the script on what they expected and what they thought the kingdom of God was going to look like. Okay? Everyone who might have felt isolated, Jesus is welcoming in, which is a beautiful thing. So let's look at these attitudes. Break them down a little bit. These teachings and ways of living are what we're aiming for, right? And we want to make sure that we're working on all of these traits and not just focusing on one or another. So let's start with the first one. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Okay, so we're recognizing our desperate need for God. Okay, so this is a spiritual thing, that you're poor in spirit. I think so, obviously, if you're poor, you're going to recognize that need and that desperation. If you think about the people that don't have anything, they don't have food, they don't have water, they don't have a place to live, there's a deep desperation to survive. And so this is we are supposed to have a deep desperation for the Lord and for recognizing our need for him. So this is a big thing of recognizing our desperate need for him. And that spiritual humility opens the door to the kingdom work in our lives. Okay, so we're not necessarily meant to view ourselves as worthless or significant. That's not what we're saying here, but it's recognizing that we need him, right? We need him in our lives and inviting him in. So it's not our own strength or by our own will, but we rely on God. So it all starts there, at that recognition, that inviting in of the Spirit. It sets the table for us to be, you know, humble to walk that out with him. Number two, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Okay, so the ancient Greek here, the grammar emphasizes like a very deep, deep mourning. Okay, so it's weeping and mourning for the impact of our actions and sin on our lives and just the world in general. So it's just a deep mourning over all of the brokenness, but then the repentance leads to salvation, and God draws near to us in our sorrow, okay? So we're going to be comforted for when we recognize that, the sin in our lives, and again, not beating ourselves up, but it's a turning of recognizing that we need him, and that this world isn't great, maybe the understatement. The culture isn't the greatest, but we need God, and there's sorrow there, but thankfully there's hope, and then he comes by and comforts us in our sorrows. Okay. And again, this is a godly sorrow, one that Paul mentions, and our sorrow is turned to joy, thankfully, right? Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. This one is really key, because I think oftentimes meekness is perhaps seen as weakness, okay? Timidity, okay? Weak, submissive, easily imposed. But when we're talking about here in the Greek, this meaning is not passive or pushed around. Strength under control. So it's not weakness, it's strength under control, rooted in trust in God. So it's humility at work in us, right? Our meekness is, yes. So this is the commentary I talked a little bit, which I thought was good. It says, to be meek means to show willingness to submit and work under proper authority. So are we willing to submit under God's will, under his ways? Can we be meek in that? Okay. Again, in that we submit to his will and conform to his word, but not only that, we are meek before men or others, that we are humble, gentle, patient, and long-suffering. We don't like to suffer. We like things to, you know, get figured out quickly. We want to make our own way. We want to take hold, but God says that his character, his people are going to be meek. They're going to be humble. They're going to be under the Lord and the Lord's way, and we're patient in that. So strength under control. We could be commanded, we could try to push our own way, but that's not the way, the attitude that God would like to see for us. And we will inherit the earth. God will give us the earth, this world, when we walk out the kingdom like that. Pretty cool. Okay, and then, so the next one, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be So again, that deep burning hunger for God's holiness and righteous living, that's aligned with God's heart and plan. Okay, so it's not just that burning for to live rightly and to be pure, but it's also the pursuit of Jesus and to be set apart. This is like a deep hunger. So like think of teenage boy, endless hunger, trying to just always eating. We're supposed to have that like two empty legs and just continually start reading the word, eating. We don't want a snack, okay? We need to find that desperation and search for big meals and continually pursue that. Because when we pursue that way, when we're hungry, God will satisfy. I've seen that in my own life, the moments in time where I've been able to shake off whatever I'm doing, shake off things in my own life and focus in. And when I had that desperation in my life, going through difficult things, you push in, sure enough, he shows up. He's always there, but sometimes we don't always notice it because we're caught up in our own thing. But I know that in my own life, and I'm sure you guys would probably know that when you're desperate and you really push in, he satisfies. And so we're supposed to have that hunger and thirst for him. Okay, we'll keep moving. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. So we need to recognize that we've been given grace and we've been given mercy. Because of that, because of what's been done for us, we then extend that to others. Okay, and so it's that cycle of grace and mercy. I've received it, I'm going to give it. Even though I might not receive it myself, I'm going to continue to give grace, continue to give mercy. We don't always do that in today's world, right? We're often kind of quick to judge, quick to write people off, but we are called to be merciful. And when we give mercy, we receive mercy. And that's an important thing. It's like, do we give people the benefit of the doubt? Or do we just jump to conclusions? I mean, they might be wrong. They might end up meaning that maybe there's a conversation that need to be had, but do we give people chances to learn and do we walk alongside them, or do we just push them aside? Something to think about. Okay, we'll keep going here. Blessed are the pure in heart. I know I'm giving you guys lots, and we'll kind of summarize a little bit, but blessed are the pure in heart. So we're looking for this course, of course, the desire for that inner purity in our lives, but also that focused dedication to the Lord. So it's kind of twofold. Inner, we're pursuing that pureness of heart, pureness of our lives and what we do and how we carry ourselves, but we're also super laser focused on our devotion to Jesus. So that's what it means when we're pure in heart. The reward of purity is that we get closer and closer to God. As we commit to Him, our heart, our ways, our actions, we align with His heart, and we get to experience a greater closeness. Isn't that motivation that we get to see Him closer? I want to pursue that. This next one really kind of, they all really intermingle and work together. And that's if you see there's common themes here. Because if we go to peacemaking, which is the next one, it talks about being merciful, being meek, okay? If we're not those things, we're probably not going to be establishing peace in our community, right? So, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Are we peacemakers? I know in a culture today, making peace is not common. Often, our culture creates drama, participates in negativity, criticizes, but we are called to bring unity and to bring peace. So this is really countercultural now. It's always been that way, but definitely you can see it right now, right? In our humanity, it's difficult, but we need to be meek, give mercy, bring people together, rather than cancel them. Okay, there's that cancel culture, that idea of if that person wrongs me, if they're not doing what I want, or they're going off, if it's in work or life or whatever, we typically walk away. Dust our feet off, leave, no reconciliation, we're not trying to make it better, okay? But we are called to be peacemakers, to give someone the benefit of the doubt, to try not to criticize, to try to see it from their way, and hopefully from that will allow us to bring us together and to create that unity and not cause division. We're supposed to be together, right? So, not holding on to offense, okay? Because if when we hold on to offense, there's a fence that builds up between us, right? I heard that somewhere and it never left me. When we hold on to offense, there is a fence, right? That gets built up between us. So the reward is, what's the reward for this? Be called the children of God. I want to be known as a child of God. I want to carry that out. When we are peacemakers, we're seen as different out here. If you're trying to be peaceful and trying to reconcile and help people and bring unity in your job, in your school, in your life, in your family, that makes a difference. Not in just your family, but in your life overall. That's how God, our people will see God and Jesus in us, the light of trying to bring peace. And all of these things obviously kind of lead to the end of Jesus talking about the persecution and the focus and the that we will be persecuted. So blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So Jesus was persecuted for what he did. His followers were persecuted for what he did. We could be ridiculed and mocked for our faith and what we believe. And culture today, we're post-Christian, not as in some ways anyways. And so people are really critical, can be critical of faith. People who believe what we believe, they don't understand, and we need to help them understand because there's lots of misconceptions and confusions about what we believe, right? But staying faithful even when it costs us, We're not alone because look at all the people in here, right? The family of God. Jesus was persecuted. He knows what we've gone through. And so he's with us in that. And so you have to remind yourself that you're not alone. But when we do that, God comes alongside us and he sees us. He sees what we go through. Okay, so there's a reward there. It's not why we do it, but he does see it. And so we need to stay faithful even when it costs us. People might not understand. This world is all about self. But the Jesus way looks a lot different, right? So, I'm just gonna give a couple thoughts, and then we'll wrap up. But we've looked at these teachings through this biblical perspective. How can we apply it to our lives, right? Today's culture is really, really, as we've talked about, is really opposite of these attitudes, right? Okay, and so our culture is about self. People are encouraged to follow their own truth, their own path, do whatever it pleases them, live that out, right? There's a race to be the best, to have the best, to be seen, have all the power, consume, self-promotion, all of that kind of stuff, right? Our culture is not often of making peace. Like I said before, we're negative, we criticize, these types of things, but we've been tasked with taking the kingdom of heaven and spreading this light, spreading this different culture, right? The difference may spark conversations in your workplaces, right? It might spark conversations at home when you're out and about. They're like, hey, there's something different about you. Maybe some of you have had that. They're like, someone's come up to you in your life or in work, and they're like, hey, what's different about you? There's this lightness here. There's this joy that sits, that's around you. And maybe that's the opportunity for you to share Christ or talk about, like, hey, I have faith in Jesus, I go to church, or whatever that conversation looks like might be, and there's an open door from you living out and looking different than the world, right? So we partner with the presence of the Holy Spirit and take Jesus' character with us everywhere we go, right? We must do our best to revisit these Beatitudes, remind ourselves of these things, take in those teachings, and then move forward. As I was preparing this week and we were in prayer, I kind of got this picture of an old train engine, kind of stuck. This engine's been used for a long time. I might have graffiti all over it, wheel bearings, whatever, we see some old coal maybe in the engine. Sometimes we can be like that old train, eh? Sometimes we get a little stuck. We've been at faith for a long time. We've been doing this for a while. And we've heard the sermons. We've heard the messaging. And we're doing okay. Like, it seems like everything's okay, but when you come and take a step back and look at it, you're like, huh, maybe I'm a little dry. Maybe I haven't been moving forward, and we need to go to the great mechanic, right? Revisit those things, and he can make us new again, wash us clean, and remind ourselves of what he's done, these attitudes, refresh, and then go out again, right? I'm thankful that he does that for us. Let Jesus, the great mechanic, give us a refresh, and then go out looking the way he wants us to be. So there are three things I want us to focus on. Three simple things. So first, and if you can just put that summary slide up there, just so people can see. Yeah, that's awesome. Walking in the Beatitudes today, recognizing our need for him, returning to his teaching, and then going and living it out again. It's pretty simple, and that's probably what the recipe is for most things, but it seemed evident to me when I was preparing that this was it. So recognizing our need for him, that we're lost without Jesus. It's not one of shame or condemning, but realizing how much better it is with him. We recognize that need first, that we need to return to him, right? If we're feeling dry, if we're feeling, it's like, okay, maybe I'm getting off the path a little bit. I need to remind myself. Then we turn from our old ways of being, so repent, returning, reminding ourselves the way of the followers and of the kingdom is supposed to look, and we can take in those teachings. We can take in everything again, right? Then we're refreshed with Jesus at our sides, and we can go and spread this kingdom to everyone, right? And we must do this constantly. This must be the rhythm that we live. And I think we need to be in this rhythm of going back, remembering, reminding ourselves of all he's done. Then we can go refreshed. Because if we don't go back and recognize our need for him, if we don't take him with us, we're going to slowly probably get tired, and it's going to be more difficult life, right? But thankfully, if we remind ourselves, return, take in all that stuff again and go out, it's going to be a lot more helpful, I think, right? So there's a lot of things here. This is setting the stage. The Sermon on the Mount is, and the Beatitudes is setting the stage again for who's invited into the kingdom, how we're supposed to live, and how we can walk that out. Jesus is taking that old law and up-leveling it. There's a new covenant, right? And so this week, as I kind of close here, I have a challenge for us. Simple, nothing too crazy, but it's kind of in line with this. I think every day we should just read through the Beatitudes. Simply. Just read through them, whether that's just you get stuck on one and you just think about that again. But let's take on the Beatitudes and the character of Christ, remind ourselves each and every day, and see how it changes us. See how it, if you can do it at the start of the day, great. Give yourself grace. Obviously, if you miss a day, come back in and read it again. But let's try to remind ourselves of these attitudes. Meditate and soak up the word and the teaching. Ask the Holy Spirit to shape your attitudes and actions. Then go about your day with these attitudes with Jesus on your mind. I think it'd be good to do. Yeah. I think it's so easy in today's world to get on to the next thing. So like Sunday, we all have plans after, likely, or maybe not. Maybe it's a nap, I don't know. I might go for a little nap, that might be awesome. But I think we get on to our lives, we get on to our week. Maybe we start out, honestly, to going into another devotion, going into another scripture, we're consuming some other content or whatever, and that's not inherently wrong or bad. Like, it's good to study and to try to grow closer to God, but how often do we just meditate on a piece of scripture? Do we pause and think about it and slowly just let that infuse into us? And so that's what I kind of want to practice this week, is reading through the Beatitudes, try to focus on those attitudes and live them out in your lives. It's simple. They're pretty clear and written out, but I think it will change us, it'll refresh us, and life will look different. And then people are gonna see the difference in your lives, and there's gonna be opportunities. We're gonna bring that kingdom to this earth, which is what we've been tasked to do, right? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for this community. I thank you for this church, God, and I just thank you for your teaching. I thank you for the way that you communicated how you want us to live. And I pray that we would come back to you. We would recognize the need for you and your attitudes and your character and your Holy Spirit in our lives. We would soak that in, and then we would live it out. There would be that application, God. So we invite you into our weeks, we invite you into our days, our relationships, all of those things. We say, have your way, lead, let us be meek, and be humble and submit to you, Lord. If anyone's feeling like an old engine, a train engine, or just feeling run down or stuck, God, I pray that you would meet them here. And you would meet them this week, and that they would feel your Holy Spirit presence in their lives, and there would be a refreshing of their soul. Because that's what you do, that's who you are. So God, we just pray for anyone that's working through that, that feels that way or some similar way, feels distant or stuck or whatever, or it's, this is all new to them and it just feels like a lot, would you simplify it? And would you just give them you, your presence, God? So we thank you for this challenge. May the Beatitudes just fill our lives up, and may we walk differently. In Jesus' name, amen.